Hello once again, and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm your host, Katie Britton. It can be creamy, it can be smoky, it can be stinky. Cheese is one of the most fascinating and versatile types of food we eat, and there are endless ways to sell it, prepare it, and eat it. We love it so much, we decided to do a show about it. So we have two expert cheesemongers in the studio with us today to answer your questions about cheese. The number to call in is 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-34-TALK-1. So let me introduce our guest today. We have longtime cheese lover and cheesemonger Eric Paul, and he's owner of the Cheese Traveler here in Albany. He also worked at the Honest Weight Food Co-op and is active in the slow food movement, which has been instrumental in bringing farmstead cheeses to local sellers around the region and around the world. Welcome, Eric.
Thanks for having me, Katie.
We also have Kevin Schmitz, who is co-owner of Marketplace Kitchen and Cafe in Sheffield and Pittsfield, and Berkshire Bark in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Marketplace Kitchen's specialty store is also a popular spot at Guido's Marketplace in Great Barrington, where they offer a vast variety of hand-cut cheeses. Hello, Kevin.
Hi.
It's wonderful to have you both here today.
Thank you.
And so if you want to ask your question about cheeses, if you want to give us some suggestions of how you incorporate it into different dishes, or if you have a favorite, give us a call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-34-TALK-1. So both of you brought in a bevy of cheeses. And so you had an interesting conversation, actually, before we came, while we were in the news. And Eric, you had asked Kevin how many different kinds of cheeses you sell in your stores.
Yeah, we usually have between 130 and 150 kinds, but there's hundreds and hundreds, and more have become available over the last 10, 15 years especially. A lot of European cheeses that didn't really appear or were hard to get are very, much easier to get. They're very good distributors and exporters.
Okay, so I was going to say, when you say something is hard to get, is it that they do very small quantities of it, or is it the fact that it's harder to ship overseas?
Can be both. It sort of depends on what it is. But yeah, a lot of the farms produce very small quantities.
I generally focus finding my cheeses on looking for very small scale, very small production cheeses, and I tend to have a penchant for research. And so, but what I learned a long time ago is that just because you can find it doesn't mean you can get it shipped to you, that it comes down to logistics.
Interesting.
Moving it from Europe to the U.S.
So this is a very broad question, and I think it would probably go to the different genre of cheese. But what are you looking for that makes you say, I want to bring this to my customers?
For me, certainly, if I can find a raw milk cheese, it's going to be my first choice. It's always going to be a better, more interesting cheese than a pasteurized counterpart. So it's
how so?
Well, pasteurization is great for certain things, but it also kills a lot of flavor, which is why in Europe, and the tradition goes back so long, they don't in the United States, it has to be at least 60 days. Whether it's produced here or not, any raw milk cheese must be 60 days old to be sold. In Europe, that's not the case. And certainly with soft-ripened cheese, it becomes more of an issue because it doesn't have it doesn't go through the long maturation process and aging process. So as a result, you've killed off a lot of flavor pretty early on.
And so for you, Kevin, Eric, I'm sorry.
Well, generally what we're looking for are we're looking to have a balanced selection of cheeses in what we identify as sort of eight categories of cheese or styles or types of cheese. And so we want to have cheeses that represent each one of those categories. We're first looking for small scale because small scale usually translates into traditional methods and carries the culture of making that cheese. And then we're also looking primarily for as Kevin was saying, raw milk cheeses, but we're looking basically for overall quality and scale of production.
All right, we're going to go to the phones and First, we're going to Bonnie in Asheville. Hi, Bonnie.
Yes, hello. How are you?
We're doing well, thank you. And what's your question for our gentleman?
My question is that I had heard in the slicing of block hard cheeses like a cheddar that you shouldn't touch it with your bare hands because the cheese will tend to mold where you touch it. I'm just wondering if that's true or false.
I would say that it's generally more durable than that.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I mean, most, if you're going to get mold, it, a lot of it has to do with the moisture content. Anything, the higher the moisture content, the quicker it's going to mold. And it depends on the way it's stored. And, you know, mold in general, depending upon what type of mold it is, isn't necessarily such a bad thing anyway. You know, what we, it's interesting because when we started, when I started selling cheese at the store about 20 years ago, I think the American public was very much used to sort of very sterile cheese that didn't have any mold, that didn't, you would never find a cloth-bound cheese, probably a long time ago, I'm sure you did, but certainly 25 years ago, it was very unusual, and because of that, you know, there's a cheese called Cornish Yarg, which has nettles on the outside of it. It's from England. It's a vegetarian rennet cosmoke cheese. And that, you know, that will get mold on it. And as most cheeses will that are not, you know, well, any cheese really will, depending on, as I said, upon the how it's stored and the moisture content. But mold isn't necessarily a bad thing. But I haven't really experienced when it molds, for me anyway.
No,
certainly
do you
the
just
way it's stored.
Cut it off, something like a cheddar, you just cut off the mold and go to it.
That's what I usually do. If it's hard, yeah. With hard cheeses, if they get a little mold, you can usually just slice it off and go from there. But how is the best way to store, like a block cheddar?
Generally, the best way to store cheese overall is in cheese paper, which is typically found in and produced out of France. And what that cheese paper is it's sort of like a thin paper on one side and then a poly layer of plastic on the other side. Generally what that does is two things. It allows cheese to breathe, which cheese likes to be able to do, and it also, the layer of poly keeps the humidity in, and cheese likes humidity.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Bonnie.
Yep, bye.
1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-34-TALK-1 to ask your questions about cheese or share what your favorite is. We're going to go to Bob in Craigsmore. Good afternoon, Bob.
Hi, good afternoon. I wanted to know, it's along the same lines, but how can you tell if a blue cheese has gone bad?
Generally, with blue cheese, as it ages, it'll get stronger. So usually it's losing moisture, it's going to increase in salt and acidity, and it generally becomes saltier and will start to burn a little bit in the back of the throat when it's gone bad. It's sort of hard to tell without taste. You generally give it a little taste. It can give a smell, but blue almost always will give a smell, and so tasting is the ultimate litmus test.
Yeah, I mean, I also you'll see, you know, as with a natural rind blue, they'll also tend to get browner as they age, and sometimes it's, you know, it's just sort of the rind. Not that normally you on a lot of them you won't eat the rind anyway. And that you know, depending on the type of cheese, but it will tend to get a little bit browner as it ages, and that's definitely the indication it's going to get a little bit. It's going to have more of a bite to it, and.
But I could still use it in cooking.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's really the only thing you really the one thing you want to worry about. When you have you know, a mold on any kind of cheese is basically like a red mold. That's definitely not the kind you want, and that's when you sort of draw the line as to you know how it's gonna, you know, whether you're gonna eat it or not.
Okay. Well,
one
right.
other
Thank
thing
you.
Would be that if a blue cheese has a natural rind and that natural rind starts to get wet or slimy, then that's an area where you would. That would be an indicator of concern.
Now, would you still be able to cut that off, or would you just want to dispose
of
it?
It could be stronger, closer to the rind.
Yeah, okay. It'll kind of depend. Yeah, you can trim it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Bob, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, I mean, when you have such a vast variety of cheeses in your stores, and we're talking about the shelf life, I mean, obviously it varies to the kind of cheese, but how do you decide then, in a sense of what you're going to get and what you're hoping your customers are going to buy, while still maintaining a variety for them, so that they come in and say, "Oh, I may want something a little bit smokier today, or I want something that's really pungent."
Yeah, it is kind of a mix. I mean, you have your staples that you know are, you know, people are always going to ask for. You know, we deal direct with probably four or five cheesemakers, and then we use four different distributors. And you just kind of, you know, I mean, there are cases where the cheese it tastes fine or it's still good, but not what it should be, mm-hmm. in which case we'll either try to work it into something, or, you know, if you want something to move quicker, you'll sample it out, you know, when you know you've got a couple of weeks left. I mean, some things are very, very short-lived, mm-hmm. and that becomes a problem, particularly when stuff is coming from Europe. You know, if the container gets held up, FDA, something that's soft-ripened cheeses can lose a whole container. But certainly some of the washed rind tend to have a short life, and just try to move them quickly and, you know, try to buy accordingly. But, I mean, you don't always hit it right, that's for sure.
Generally, what we try to do is we try to think within those categories, or we're almost looking down to sort of flavor profiles. So we rotate cheeses on a regular basis, and so we have I'd say probably two-thirds of our cheeses are sort of standard cheeses that we always try to have, okay. but then we're rotating new cheese, you know, say maybe three or four within a category of it tastes, you know, there's Alpine cheeses that have these sort of nutty but sort of boiled oniony notes under them, and we'll carry one of them at a time, but we'll rotate three or four of them in. And so we'll rotate that as we go along. And then we just try to, there are some cheeses that we get. We try to source our European cheeses from what are known as affineurs, who select and ripen cheeses. And we're getting pretty small scale, pretty limited production. And we're cheeses in that case, but we're pre-ordering them. And so we get only a limited number, and we move them through. And when we sell them through, they're gone until we get them in again. Or we might see a cheese that only comes around once a year or twice a year, and it's only available for a week or two. And it's sort of like what's the flavor of the moment? Mm-hmm. What's the cheese of the moment?
1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-34-TALK-1 to talk cheese with Kevin and Eric. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, what we're going to do during the break is we're going to take some pictures of these amazing cheeses that they have brought in, and they're so beautifully laid out. We're going to post them on Facebook, and I want you guys to go there so you can see what they have brought in studio. So 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1.
Support for WAMC comes from Suruchi New Paltz, homemade Indian cuisine with a selection of gluten-free, local, and organic choices, suruchiindian.com. Orange County Tourism in the scenic Hudson Valley, featuring spring gardens, wineries, boat cruises, country inns, and a full schedule of upcoming events, orangetourism.org. Hudson Valley Fresh Dairy, a partnership of 9 Hudson Valley dairy farms, providing fresh local milk, cream, sour cream, and yogurt to our neighbors, HudsonValleyFresh.com. And Massmoka North Adams, celebrating 15 years with Red Barat, DJ Reka, Art, Food, and More on May 24th, Iron and Wine June 22nd, Beck on June 24th, Massmoka.org.
And we are back on Vox Pop's Food Friday today. To join our conversation, it's 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-34-TALK-1. We have two amazing guests in studio today. We have Eric Paul, the owner of the Cheese Traveler here in Albany. And we also have Kevin Schmitz, and he's co-owner of Marketplace Kitchen and Cafe in Sheffield and Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and Berkshire Park in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Gentlemen, you have brought in some amazing looking cheeses. So, Kevin, why don't we start with you, and we'll choose one first to start us off with.
Okay. Well, we can actually, if you want to start on the end, that is goat's milk cone, aged cone from Coach Farm in Pine Plains.
Okay.
And that's it's not a fresh goat. It's aged. It's got a bloomy rind on the outside. It's going to be crumbly. It's going to
really?
Have a stronger taste. Yeah, I mean, and goat's milk, that's really what happens. It depends, once again, on whether it's pressed or whether it's not, and there's a lot of things that enter into it. But, it's a great cheese, and it's nice, you know, it's a local one. I actually chose, I got three of them that four of them that are either Vermont or New York. But we also do a lot of cheese from Massachusetts, and it's honestly hard to choose. So, you know, we rotate some through and then we have some, you know, consistent cheese. That's, you know, cheeses that are always in the store.
Now, when you say the bloomy rind, for listeners out there that may not know what that is, it's like a brie, the rind on a brie.
Yeah,
where
like,
it's that softer.
Sure.
Saint
Andre, anything
coating.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Bloomy rind, it's just a white mold.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a rind there. And then when you cut into it, you'll see, like, this is the one next to it is called Weybridge. And that is from Jasper Hill,
okay,
which is out of Vermont. And they are actually Affineurs also, which are one of the few really in the United States. And another cheese on the board here is Cabot Clothbound. And that's made by Cabot Creamery, but it is aged in the cellars of Jasper Hill.
Interesting. So if listeners want to go to Facebook, we just posted the pictures,
mm-hmm,
and the board that Kevin is talking about is literally on a board, and all six cheeses are laid out. So the first one he's talking about, if you're looking at the picture, it's on the right-hand side, and he's moving from right to left on the board. And that way you can see what we're talking about. So do you want to cut into – Jessica's in the studio, our wonderful Vox Pop producer. So she's going
down
to start cutting into the cheese. While Jessica's
over
cutting into that goat cheese, we're going to go to the phones, and we have Andrea from Germantown. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, how are you? Nice to have you take my call. Thank you. My question basically is what you were just discussing, and I'd like some further information. I'd like to know who are the local cheesemakers in this area, like the Hudson Valley, so that we can kind of find out more about them. I know there must be a lot of small companies or small organizations or individuals who are making cheese. How can we promote that? How can we discover them and find out more about them?
Well, there is a cheese. Pretty much every state at this point will have a cheese council. And if you Google that, I'm not sure the website for New York State, but it will come up. And you know, some of the places will give farm tours. But all of certainly the New England states, all have a cheese council, and I'm pretty much, I think every state in the country at this point has it, and that's probably the best place to start, because there are so many. There's so many really, really good ones,
How do we separate the? How do we know? I mean, we just have to guess, or?
Well, no. I mean, you can read, you know, you can read reviews. We carry some, certainly at our store, and I know Eric does. He actually brought Kunick, which is from Nettle Meadow, and it's wonderful cheese. It's in fact, the first time I had it, I ate way more than I should have because I just couldn't stop.
And that's called Nettle Meadow cheese, or is that the farm that
Nettle Meadow is the name of the cheesemaker, and they're in Warrensburg, right outside of Warrensburg in Thurman, New York, and they make goat's milk cheeses. The cheese Kunick is a mixed milk cheese, so it's goat's milk with a little bit of Jersey cow cream, so that increases the butterfat in the cheese, and so it's technically what's called a triple creme, and a triple creme is a type of cheese that's same family as a brie, but it has a higher percentage of butter fat, about 70% fat in dry matter, which basically means that if they dry the cheese out to a dry form, it's 75% fat in dry matter, compared to brie, which is 60 to 74.99999%.
Are there many cheesemakers who do like hard cheeses, like a cheddar or a Gruyere or a?
Yes. You know? So, well, cheddars can sort of be made anywhere. Actual Gruyere can only be made in Switzerland. It's known as a name-controlled cheese, which, similar to wines, it can only be made in a certain place according to certain standards of production. But there are cheeses that are made in that style. Gruyere is what's known as a cooked, pressed curd cheese that is also a washed rind. So they're washing the rind of the cheese as it's aging, or in the process of aging, which in the world of cheese is known as affinage. Kevin mentioned an affineur before, and that is somebody who ages cheeses. In New York State, there isn't a cheese council, but there is a website called the New York Cheesemakers Guild, or Artisan Cheesemakers Guild, and that in essence functions as that for New York State. I haven't been to the website in a little while. Sometimes they're a little slow to update their information, but there's a lot that's there. And we can name off a few. There's Old Chatham Sheep Herding Company and Old Chatham. There's Hawthorne Valley Farm produces cheeses. There's Sprout Creek Farm down in Poughkeepsie. There's amazing real life food. Do you know them?
Know them. The other one I was thinking of, we just have gotten it recently. It's called Jake's Gouda. And they're it's a Mennonite family, and they do. I actually brought the smoked Gouda, and they really just make Gouda. It's a husband and wife, and it's a wonderful story. But it's also a really nice cheese.
Where are they? They're in New York.
They're in New York State. Yeah, I don't know. We get it through a distributor. I have the information somewhere, but it's called Jake's Gouda, and okay. It's a very, very nice cheese. And the it's interesting because I'm not a big fan of most smoked cheeses, because they tend to take cheese that's not really that great, and then they smoke it, and sometimes it ends up tasting like a sort of like a smoked eraser. But but Jake's actually it's a good cheese to start with, and they actually cut it in slabs and smoke it that way, because it's a large wheel, probably 15 to 20 pound wheel, and if you smoked it and really wanted to get that flavor in the center, the outside would be so smoky that you really wouldn't enjoy it. So they do it that way and have it smoked, and it's very nice, very, very nice cheese.
The other place to go to find local cheeses is the Washington County Cheesemakers Guild, and they do the Washington County Cheese Tour. And there's I think 5 farms that are a part of that, and they do their tour every September. And then there's
the
Cooper's
Washington County Cheesemakers
Guild.
Guild, okay.
Yep. And then there are cheesemakers out in the Leatherstocking region, and some down south, and a few out on Long Island. And so there are cheesemakers throughout. And we at the Cheese Travel, we do about, I'd say at least 40% of our cheeses are domestic. It's probably our single largest country. And then we have most of those are regional, although we do look for good cheeses that are made across the country.
Andrea. Are there more cheeses now being made in New York State than there have been? Is this a big change?
There are, because cheese making is basically a value-added dairy product. So they're taking a commodity, which is milk, which is not extremely profitable right now, and they're learning how to make different types of cheeses and ripening those cheeses differently, and making cheeses other than a commodity block cheeses that they can bring to market that people are excited about and that they can sell at shops like mine or counters like Kevin's. So there are more of them because it's a way of having viable dairies and creameries.
Are there any are there any local blue cheeses being made?
Yes. Old Chatham Sheepranging Company does at least two varieties of blue. There's a cheesemaker out in Great Barrington doing the Berkshire Blue. There's a few others also. There's a woman out by the Finger Lakes who does a goat's milk blue.
There's, actually Berkshire Blue, we used to be in the same building when they first started, and that's a Jersey cow's milk blue, and it's made in Great Barrington. There's also... out in Marion, Mass., there's
Great Hill Blue,
which is a really nice blue. There is a cheesemaker. It's called Westfield Farms. It's in Hubbardston, Mass., and they actually do a goat log. They do some mixed milk, but one of the things that they do, which is a really it's wonderful cheese, is a it's a bloomy rind goat log with blue cheese on the outside.
All right, instead Andrea, of having a white mold, it has a blue mold on the outside.
We're going to have
to let you
go, okay, Andrea?
Thank you. 1-800-348-2551.
That's 1-800-34-TALK-1. So Jessica has been kind enough to cut up the cheeses for us, and so we'll go with the aged goat cheese.
That's the green peppercorn. That's from Coach Farm.
It has a really delicate smell to it, too.
Yeah, they make some really nice cheese. They really, really do.
They were one of the first artisan goat's milk cheese producers in the country, and they're down out of Pine Plains in northern Dutchess County.
They actually started, that was the Coach Leather, and they sold that company. And they brought someone over from France, and they got a herd together. And
wow, the texture of it, it has a creamy texture on the inside, and pardon me for speaking with my mouth full. A really nice creamy texture. It has that goat cheese flavor, but at the same time, it's sharper because
of the aging.
Yes.
Yeah, they're you know, it's interesting because when they started up, which was it's 20 some odd years, I believe, any of the small cheesemakers in this country outside of the big, you know, the big conglomerates, they ended up with. Like most of them, they started out with goat's milk, and you're finding more sheep and cow's milk than you did 20 years ago, which is kind of interesting.
Now, how long would they age this for?
You know, I don't know how long they age that. Probably 3 months, 2 to 3 months,
okay.
I'm guessing.
That's all it takes then? I mean,
yeah, probably 3 months, especially because it's, you know, this is small. It's a small cheese, and so because of that, if you went, you know,
longer.
6 months, it would be you'd probably be able to grade it.
The longer you age it, the more it loses its moisture.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the things that you know it'll become saltier and it'll become drier, and because that doesn't have a hard rind on it, it's going to age quicker.
Okay, that makes sense. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go to Helen in Pittsfield. Good afternoon, Helen.
Yes.
And what's your
question? My question is regarding goat cheese. I have never had it myself, but it intrigues me, and I wonder how it tastes because I do love cheeses.
Well, goat cheese varies depending upon the age of it. So a younger goat's milk cheese or a fresh goat's milk cheese is very light and almost like the texture of cream, maybe a little more delicate than cream cheese, because a lot of times in cream cheese they add gums and stabilizers and things like that. It's fluffier, it's lighter,
it's like,
but it has a little
cheese.
Bit of like sometimes it's described as being like a little lemony. It depends on the producer. If it's a larger scale producer, it can sometimes have a little higher acidity and be stronger. Usually the strength of a goat's milk cheese is in the acidity, but if it's if you taste the three milks, goat, sheep, and cow's milk side by side, goat's milk is actually the sweetest of the three milks.
Really? Oh. So what
and
would
how,
be a good...
how is it normally used?
A lot of times you just eat it. Even the younger cheeses, like the French ripened cheeses, which are somewhat similar to this Coach Farm one that we're tasting here, they're eaten at the table. They come in like little... all sorts of different shapes, logs, buttons, donut-shaped discs, bells, pyramids, tall pyramids, short pyramids. And you'd basically just cut them in, like you would a cake, and mm-hmm. you just eat it at the table. You can eat it with jams or different accompaniments, and almost always it's suggested to eat it while drinking Sancerre, which is a local wine from the Loire Valley region, which is where the Loire Valley region in France is where most of the goat's milk cheeses are produced. Those are different than the aged goat's milk cheeses, which can vary quite differently. As they age out, they tend to the sweetness tends to come out a little bit more, a little bit less of the acidity, and you get more sort of fruity or floral notes to them. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, those are table cheeses too. If they're harder and drier, then you could move to grating or cooking with them. But
I see.
So it sort of all depends on the age and the strength as to how you use it and how you would enjoy them.
So what would be a nice beginner goat cheese for Helen to try first?
I think probably the best goat's milk cheese to try in terms of like the softer French style is a small format goat's milk cheese called Le Chevreau. It's a little cake. It's like about 3 inches across and say 1.5 to 2 inches tall. And it has a sort of wrinkly looking rind. And that's because it has a certain mold on the outside called I'm going to first of all give you a curd nerd warning because that's a Geotrichum candidum rind. And those tend to be, those are the classic rind put on that the French and the Italians put on their goat's milk cheese. It's a little bit different than the rind that most domestic goat's milk producers put. Most domestic goat's milk producers will put the same rind that you put on a Brie or a Bloomy rind. And for some reason or another, the Geotrichum candidum or the French rind tends to be a little less acidic, tends to be a little bit more delicate in flavor, tends to be less strong. I think that's a great way to start. It doesn't. I'm not sure that that affects the digestion.
But just easier on the palate, a little bit more smooth. Yeah. On the palate, which will be nice for a first time trying out the goat cheeses.
Right.
And there's also a lot of local fresh ones, mm-hmm. whether it's like Rosenbrook Farm or, Coach does almost all of them. Any of the cheesemakers around here will actually do a fresh.
Monterey does a really nice one.
And
RNG
nice to
does a really nice one.
Yeah. On a nice crusty bread.
And there's some great goat's milk cheese also out of Vermont. It's called Lazy Lady. And Laney makes tons of different varieties. And those tend to be more like a Valençay, which is like a pyramid. It's going to look sort of similar on the outside, but it's going to be softer. She does some really fun stuff. And she'll do some mixed milk, but those are really wonderful cheeses.
All right.
Now, I'm in Massachusetts, so in Pittsfield.
You're right near Kevin.
Yeah, Rosenbrook is actually made in Monterey, Mass. And you can get it. We have it in our store. They have it at Guido's in Pittsfield. It's going to be, she really only makes the fresh goat cheese, so you're going to find it in tubs. And it's nice. You can get it plain. She also flavors it, with chives and herbs and different things. But that's a nice place to start just on a baguette or on a...
It has a really nice moisture to it, and it's really light.
What was the name of that brand now?
Rosenbrook Farms.
Rosenbrook?
Rosenbrook, yeah.
Oh, Rosenbrook.
Yep.
Okay. Could I have one more question?
Actually, Helen, we're running out of time. We have to go to a break, all right?
All right, but thank you for this.
All right, thank you, Helen.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
So we do have to go to a break, but we will be right back with Kevin and Eric.
Support for WAMC comes from Pangea, North Bennington, Vermont, catering Southern Vermont weddings and corporate events with menus designed for special occasions, VermontFineDining.com and Facebook. Marbletown True Value Hardware, Stone Ridge, a locally owned independent source offering Loge cast ironware cookware and specialty kitchen items, MarbletownHardware.com, True Value, Start Right, Start Here. Unison Arts, New Paltz, presenting Freedom Songs, an event of music from Civil Rights era with Jeremy Mage, Tamar Kali, and Jason Charles Walker, May 17th at 8, unisonarts.org. and the Montessori School of the Berkshires, working to foster independence in an experimental learning environment, offering 8 weeks of summer programs for ages 3 through 12. BerkshireMontessori.org.
Welcome back to Food Friday on Vox Pop. We have Eric Paul and Kevin Schmitz in studio with us answering your questions about cheese. We're going to go straight back to the phone. And Judy has been waiting so patiently. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I have really two quick questions. Where can those of us who live in Berkshire County buy the cheese wrapping paper you referred to? And the second question is, you referred to in the very beginning of the program, two different kinds of cheese, pasteurized and I couldn't understand what you were saying.
Raw milk, unpasteurized.
Raw milk. Oh, mm-hmm. My goodness. Okay. Yeah.
So where can Judy get the paper?
That's a good question. I don't, if you, see, we have it for ourselves, and we wrap cheese in it when customers purchase it. We buy it in bulk, so I'm trying to think of who... I can't think of anybody off the top of my head, but you might want to try. Maybe the Different Drummer might have it. You certainly can get it online. That's not a problem. There's a variety of places.
Web search.
Yeah, Fromagex, actually. I'm not sure if Fromagex does. They have a variety of things. But I don't think they sell direct. Okay. We get things from them, and they get some other types of wrap, which is kind of neat.
There's another company that brings in cheese paper that is more sort of retail oriented. Fromagex tends to supply a lot of cheese makers and cheesemongers like Kevin and me. But there's another company called Formaticum.
Oh yeah.
And Formaticum has a website, and you can order through their website.
Formaticum.
Formaticum.
Okay. I currently use the inside of cereal box paper, you know, the bag that the cereal is inside the box, but it's not perfect. So, and most of the time, unless you're in one of your places, the cheese is wrapped in saran wrap, and so that's the challenge.
Yeah, Formaticum, yeah, you can, and they have it in squares. So you don't have to get in big sheets. It's much more workable.
All right, great. Thank you very much.
Good luck, Judy. And we're going to take another call. We're going to Vincent and Hyde Park. Hi, Vincent.
Hi.
And you have a question about blue cheese?
Yes, blue cheese and cheese in general. And the question is more centered around freezing of a hard cheese or a soft cheese. And does it hold up as well when you freeze cheeses? And I'm interested in blue cheese more, so that's more of a softer one. So that's my question about freezing cheeses, and does it stay as good as when you put it in the freezer? Thank you.
Freezing cheeses, what happens with freezing cheeses is that as something freezes and thaws, you tend to lose moisture, and it affects the texture of the cheeses. Younger cheeses will lose moisture and become drier. Aged cheeses, people do freeze them. We don't always recommend it in my shop, just because we want it to be like what it was made that the cheesemaker had in mind. So we sort of encourage people to buy what they're going to eat in a week's time, and go from there.
I see. So it seems like the softer cheeses, then they probably have more moisture. So that would be something where you'd lose the moisture more on a soft cheese, and maybe a hard cheese would stand up better, you think?
Well, you can tell, if you were to take, I can tell maybe because I'm around cheese all the time, but you can tell a fresh chev that's been frozen or something like that tends to be drier, tends mm-hmm. to... than that sort of lighter, creamier cheese that we were talking about just a little bit earlier in the program.
I see.
Yeah, I mean, cheese, anything that goes in the refrigerator, or in the refrigerator or a freezer, besides making things cold, it also removes moisture. That's one of the things that it does, just like an air conditioner, and that's why I always see, you know, water coming out of them. They really act also as a dehumidifier, so they will definitely dry things out. If you have to, wrap it as well as you possibly can, you know, and depending upon what you're doing with it. You know, if you were going to use it for cooking and it's going to have other ingredients in it and you're going to have more, you know, moisture in the cooking process, you know, it's that will work better.
Okay.
If you don't have a choice, then wrap it really, really well. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Vincent, thank you.
And wrapping it with that cheese paper we talked about a little while ago?
Yeah, first I'd wrap it with a cheese paper, and then I would actually put it in either a, you know, like a Ziploc bag or anything, because it will. The cheese paper is great because it allows it to breathe, but in this case, it's going to also allow it to dry out.
Thank you very much.
Now, Paul's checked in via email, and he wants to know what causes cheese to smell like Stilton or Limburger.
Well, a lot of things.
Yeah. Break it down for me, a sentence or two.
Well, usually a cheese like Limburger actually lives within a family of cheeses known as washed-rind cheeses. And washed-rind cheeses, when the wheel is in its whole form, is washed usually in saltwater brine. Although the cheeses originated in monasteries where they could have been washed in any beverage or something that was also produced at the monasteries, like beer or wine or brandy or some sort of other spirit. Those cheeses tend to have a different type of bacteria on the rind called the Brevibacterium linen mold. And that Brevibacterium linen mold actually does resemble the same bacteria that's actually...
So it's the bacteria and enzymes that are really creating that smell, that pungent smell on some of the cheeses.
And you're also not, by continually washing it, it ages differently. You're not really, and you're not allowing it to dry out.
Okay.
So, you know, typically, in fact, I forgot to bring the cheese today. I had gotten it in, and I haven't been able to get it for quite a while because it's a small production cheese, and it's called Stinking Bishop. And it's a cheese that's been made, well, it goes way, way back. It was made in a monastery, but they actually wash it with... Perry, which is basically it's hard cider, but made with pears, and it is it's, you know, it's pungent, but the inside is, you know, it doesn't taste like it smells necessarily, but we actually sell a lot of washed rind cheese, and they are definitely they're more aromatic because they're not hard on the outside. They're not really sealed. You know, once you cut any cheese, obviously you're going to smell it, but the wash rind are always going to be
significantly more smelly.
Very much so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's actually the same microbiologists who look at the different types of bacteria. It's the same as the same bacteria that's on feet, basically.
Yeah.
Thus the comparison. All right. We're going to David in Great Barrington. Hi, David.
Hi, I had a question. I was having trouble getting a French cheese called Mimolette that my local cheesemonger in Stockbridge was getting, and he said that he could no longer get it because they use some type of enzyme or live bacteria on the rind to get it to age in whatever fashion it does. Now, have you guys had the same trouble? Are you able to get that cheese?
I have it in the store.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and you can get it certainly. I mean, it can, when it's aged long enough, it's trying to like, kind of like trying to cut a bowling ball. I mean, it's great cheese, but no, we're able to get it.
Oh, it is available. Okay.
Well, and there are different ones. So there are some that are aged quite a long time, anywhere from 12 to like 22 months, and the ones that tend to be aged more, 18 to 22 months, have more crater-like looking rinds. And the issue with that is that those rinds typically have what are called cheese mites in them. And cheese mites are what are found on almost all aged cheeses have them. Aged Gruyere, aged cheddar, cheeses like Mimolette. And what happened about a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago, is the FDA decided, the Food and Drug Administration decided that they shouldn't be imported. And so for some period of time, they disappeared. And some of the older ones that are more obvious with cheese mites have disappeared. And we have one that's a Mimolette style that's called Brique du Nord, which is made in Belgium. And I've heard that there are some others that may be available, but I at this point haven't gotten
them. Okay, so just one particular either distributor, manufacturer, region that was shut down. And
there were some very small-scale production ones that aged longer that they were aged to, you know, in harmony with the age, with the cheese mites, basically. And
it's the right environment for them.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it was. Okay, too much.
Thank you, David.
Mm-hmm. Okay, bye.
So we have a few minutes left, and Eric, I would like to get to what you brought, because your platter is gorgeous, and it's the first picture that you see on Facebook, and it also has meats with it, too.
Sure. At our shop, we have a full selection of cheeses, about 100 to 125 cheeses, and we also have cured meats of a full variety of cured hams, baked hams, salamis, and other more cured muscle meats. What we brought today is a French-style salami called Rosette de Leon that's made actually domestically from Berkshire hogs. And then we brought a couple of different accompaniments. We brought two cheeses, the Kunik, which is a triple creme made in up in northern Saratoga County. And we brought the Montgomery's cheddar, which is one of only two cheddars that's made in the original county where county of Somerset, where cheddar originated, and it's a raw milk cloth-bound British cheddar. And then we have some bread and cornichons and a Mirabelle plum preserve, which is a little yellow French variety of plum, and then a Spanish variety of almond called a Marcona almond. So we do a lot of composing cheese plates, as I'm sure Kevin does too, because, you know, we have a lot of people who are either entertaining or wanting a cheese or two to snack on, or looking for something nice to put together for themselves rather than going out to like a wine bar or something, or looking for a hostess gift. So we spend a lot of time helping our guests put together plates.
Now, it's interesting you said the plum, because my sister, I had never really thought of putting jam with my cheeses, but she got some little plum jam cubes, and it was just so wonderful the way that it offset when you ate it with the cheeses, and she had a really hard cheese to go with it.
Spanish cheese, the membrillo, which is quince paste, is a common condiment, but there's actually a lot of jams and fruits that will go well with cheese.
It's beautiful how it can change how it tastes on your palate when you eat it with a slice of pear or a slice of apple and you put it on there and you're thinking, wow, it just completely, it accentuates it, but at the same time, it tempers it.
Absolutely.
So we are out of time, but maybe we can squeeze George in. George in Kingston, you have about a minute, so go for it.
Okay, I had a French cheese recently. It's a sheep's milk cheese called Ossau Irati.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's really terrific. I was unaware of it before, and I guess it's made in the Pyrenees?
Pyrenees, yeah.
Yep, it's been made in the Pyrenees for about 4,000 years, so that's like older than Homer.
Oh, wow.
And it's made in the Oso River Valley in the Pyrenees, and it's made from sheep's milk. At my shop, we have two, one that's made in the valley and another made when the animals are on the mountains.
All right, George, thank you for calling and sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, we're going to do underwriting support, and we'll thank our guests. So support comes from Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan Cuisine in Saratoga Springs, CafeCapriccio.com for reservations. Saratoga Bridges, Boston Spa, New York, a community resource for people with disabilities and their families, supported employment, day services, and more, saratogabridges.org. Shakespeare & Company, celebrating Shakespeare's 450th with works by and about Shakespeare, Shakespeare's Will, a one-woman show giving Shakespeare's wife a voice, beginning May 24th, shakespeare.org, and from Gothic Inn, Block Island, Rhode Island, a Victorian bed and breakfast perched high overlooking Crescent Beach, a short walk from the town and ferry, dogs are welcome, thegothicinn.com. I want to thank our guests so very much for coming in today. We have Eric Paul from the Cheese Travelers here in Albany, and Kevin Schmitz is the co-owner of Marketplace Kitchen and Cafe in Sheffield and Pittsfield, Massachusetts.